We're going to have another word now. Ruth.
Our reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's on page 1154 in the Bibles. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the flute or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself amongst those who do not understand say Amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners I will speak to this people, but even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you.
Thank you, Ruth. So we have the message title there, Gifts of the Spirit in the Church. Now, the first time I heard tongues was in a church that I entered just after I decided to become a Christian. I came from a non-Christian background, and for me it was a huge move. Never been to a church before. I had no guidance on becoming a Christian. Some of you know the story. I sent away for a book and had a little Gideon's Bible. Hadn't even talked to any Christians direct. Here I was, walking down a road, praying to God what church to go to. And this booklet that I sent off for actually did say, find a church that believes in what the Bible says and is friendly. Maybe they offer a tea and coffee afterwards or something. And do you know what? I looked for that. And there was one place and it said, tea and coffee, welcome, come in. And I thought, seems like a friendly church. I went in. Yeah? Never underestimate the power of tea and coffee or even donuts, you know? The church seemed friendly and non-threatening. The minister seemed pleasant enough, and what he spoke about and what he said put me at ease. I felt okay with that. And what he made of the young man at the back of the church with his hair stuck up and tight jeans with a fluffy black jumper that was several sizes purposely too big, and had just been to a nightclub a couple of hours before that and was looking decidedly groggy, I do not know what he made of that. But there I was. That was the situation. And everything was going along pretty much as I expected. Singing, some praying, people being friendly. This was all good. And then there was a particularly moving song. And there was something I was not sure about. There was kind of singing, but it was unlike anything I'd heard before. And I didn't understand a word. But it sounded okay. It sounded nice, actually. I found out later that it was an instance of singing in tongues. For the next 4 years, I went on to attend Ealing Pentecostal churches in Hull and then in Leicester. I went on from there to joining other churches in London. I went to a charismatic church, was there with Sarah for a number of years. And then we went over to York and we went to some other churches there. Three evangelical churches, met in a church and also in a school building. And then I went into the Baptist fold. And from there on, shortly after that, I ended up going to Spurgeon's College and well and truly, I suppose, became a Christian, which is what it's all about, really, isn't it? But I did kind of start attending Baptist churches, I suppose, now, looking at it. That was from about 2002, wasn't it, Sarah? So I've been in the Baptist fold since about 2002, but I started to go to church about 1987 time. So that gives you a little bit of the picture of the background. Now, the thing is, I have friends in various churches. I've just mentioned a lot of churches that I've been to, different types of churches, lots of experience, I suppose, different types of worship. And, you know, some of them are charismatic. They pray in tongues. So some of them really pray in tongues. You think, whoa, what's going on there? Some of them are even more than that. Some of them don't see the need for tongues at all. And some of them are in between. In fact, the public expression of gifts of the Spirit, like tongues and prophecy, is still just as controversial and polarizing as it was when Paul was writing his letters to the Corinthian church. And like all God-inspired and preserved scripture, that's just as relevant to us today. One more thing, before we dig deeper into the things of God. If you think this message from 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is just about prophecy and tongues, you are wrong. We will also delve in to what it means, to the very heart of what it means to be a worshipping community. There's an extra message that I'm going to be drawing out here. And that's going to be important for us now and for the future, particularly where we have when we have our new minister with us as well. Corinth was an important and cosmopolitan centre of trade. Today it's part of modern Greece. It's kind of that bit that sticks out. It's kind of like the bit that's joined onto the main body of Greece. It's kind of on that join, actually. The church in Corinth was not what you would call the best example of what a church should be done. The Corinthian church had almost every problem a church could have. Paul had founded the church some years earlier and cared deeply about the way things were going. Basically, the church had too much of Corinth in the church. Corinth was a centre, I suppose you could call it the New York, the Las Vegas, Paris at the beginning of the century. You know, it was basically not a good place. There was a lot of bad stuff going on there. And the church was affected by this to a certain degree. It had to be, to a certain degree. There was a bit too much of Corinth, if truth be known, in the church in Corinth. It is, so we're going on there. There were problems with immorality, factions, spiritual pride, competitiveness, and the like. This was a church full of spiritual underachievers who thought they were the best thing since sliced bread, if it had been invented then. They really, really were. They thought they were the bee's knees. There was a wildness about the Corinthian worship too that was not good either. People were talking in tongues, prophesying. The women were separate from the men and the husbands, and they would be shouting across to each other. They were separated. It was just a cacophony of confusion. Wasn't good. Wasn't good. The spirit was operating. Good. The way it was operating wasn't good. There was a wildness about the Corinthian worship. And something had to be done. These people needed some serious spiritual redirection. Now in the first few verses of chapter 14, we see Paul commending spiritual gifts to the Corinthian church. Earlier in chapter 12, Paul lifted 12 gifts of the Holy Spirit. So you've got 12 gifts there. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits and tongues. I won't go into all of these today, okay? I can do if you're interested and you want to know more about it. You can talk to me or some of the other teachers in the church, and I'm sure that we will help you to understand that better. But that's not really for today. We're going to focus primarily today on tongues and prophecy because that really helps us to understand these supernatural gifts of the Spirit. So, put simply, tongues is a supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit to speak in a language you did not learn. The tongues mentioned here is not the same as the Acts 2 variety that happened at Pentecost. You may remember the story of Pentecost, where people were speaking in a language that wasn't their own. The Holy Spirit was affecting people. Miraculous, supernatural stuff was happening. But it was not quite the same as we're going to look now and find out as what was happening here. Talking about tongues, in the first few verses of Corinthians 1:14, it says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit." And then later on, it says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies him or themselves." It is interesting to compare the tongues from 1 Corinthians and the Acts variety, the one that came first. First of all, the Acts variety at the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down, thousands of people became believers. Hallelujah, what amazing time that must have been. Known languages. These were known languages that hadn't been learned, that were being spoken by people. And people heard foreign languages and understood and all sorts of things. They were heard by people. People understood. And it was for the purpose of evangelism. This tongues that we get here in this particular passage that Paul is concerned about was about an unknown language. It wasn't a normal language that was known on the human planet. This was an angelic language or a language of the Spirit heard by God. Nobody understands unless it's interpreted, which you would need another gift. It was for personal edification as well. That means it was for the person to be built up in the Spirit. That's primarily what this type of tongues that Paul is describing here was primarily for, unless it was used in conjunction with the interpreting gift, which would interpret tongues. Sometimes when I'm singing and we're worshipping, I will start talking in tongues quietly. As we'll find later on, it's not what you do in the Spirit often, it's how you do things that matters. Hopefully I don't put any people off. Hopefully I get inspired and drawn closer to God. I think both of those things can be good. The most common expression of tongues that we actually have today is the 1 Corinthians 14 variety. So its main value is for personal edification in private moments of prayer and worship. It gives a sense of God's presence and intimacy. Tongues can also help you when you don't know what to pray. If something's happening and you just don't know what to pray, God can give you that gift of tongues and your spirit can communicate with God's spirit in a language that you don't know. You might not even understand what you're praying. But something happens deep within your soul, deep within your spirit. It's a God thing. And things can get worked out in your own heart and situations can get worked out. That one, if you want to look at that, you will find more about that in Romans chapter 8, where it explains that more directly. Now, what was happening in Corinth when the church met together to worship was that many people were all talking in tongues at once. Okay, this is this tongues that primarily, not just, it can be in church as well, but primarily was meant to be a kind of building up type of tongues. In fact, if you wasn't talking in tongues, then you would have felt right out of place. Added to this, people were prophesying as well. Now, it was not just that tongues was wrong or that prophecy was wrong, which is speaking God's mind into a situation. It was the way that these things were being done that needed to change. Paul addresses the issue by saying how much better prophecy is compared to tongues during worship. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. For the one who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless somebody interprets that the church may be edified. Perhaps people's previous attachment to some of the popular ecstatic mystery religions of the time. There were these mystery religions around the time in Corinth. And part of it involved getting into ecstasy and saying things that came into their minds. So there was a kind of a background to this kind of thing. A lot of the new believers would have been people who might have had experience or would have had experience with these ecstatic kind of religions. Maybe that was affecting how the Christians were behaving in the church. Yeah, maybe they were bringing some of that into Christian worship rather than the other way around. As tongues is essentially a way to build up the individual, this probably appealed to them. This is why Paul emphasizes how much better is the gift of prophecy. Now, prophecy is a very different animal to tongues. People often think that prophecy is mainly about telling the future. And it can be. Think of Agabus in the Bible where he predicted a famine. And that was very helpful for the church. There's been lots of other examples of direct kind of telling the future. God can do that. But it's not just that. Prophecy, importantly, and I think this is the main type of prophecy, is involves a person explaining what they believe they have received from God and what God wants to be said in a certain situation, place and time, or to a person. In all forms of prophecy, the message is intelligible, coherent, and importantly, for the benefit of others. In verse 4 it says, those who speak in a tongue build themselves up, but those who prophesy build up the church. To put it simply, tongues is a focus on self in general. Prophecy is a focus on others. This was Paul's real concern, which is why at the beginning of the chapter, the first words are, pursue love. In fact, the whole chapter of 13, the chapter before that, was all about the supremacy of the gifts of the Spirit, supernatural, amazing things. No, love. Paul knew what he was doing. He knew people. Paul wanted God's Spirit to move in the life of every single believer in Corinth. He really did. He knew it himself. And he wanted it for others. But he wanted it in the right way. He wanted it to happen in a way that glorified God and helped people. That was Paul's concern. Paul then shows the value of the understandable prophecy in verses 24 and 25. People will get it when things are intelligible in the church. Paul does not say that tongues should never be heard in the church. No. In fact, he encouraged people to speak in tongues in the church. It's just that he wants things to make sense. In most Elim churches, where they really do focus on the gifts of the Spirit more than we do in general, and they will always have an interpretation if somebody speaks in tongues. Somebody may sing in tongues, or somebody might do tongues quietly during worship for their own personal building up. But if ever it's public, yeah, if ever it's like blasted out and people hear it, then there will be the gift of interpretation will also be seen. Someone will interpret the tongue. If somebody doesn't interpret the tongue, then it usually goes very, very quiet, and people have serious thoughts about whether God was speaking then or not. But anyway, all things are safe in God's house. Another key overriding thought for Paul in this whole book is that things are done to glorify God. Yeah? In chapter 10, actually, before this, his main emphasis was on that. The gifts of the Spirit are fine, even good, but in the final analysis, we have to ask ourselves, is God glorified in it? Yeah? And is it reflecting God's kingdom as it should? One of the most important truths about God is this. God loves you. Yeah? But God is also about relationship. That is so important. Relationship is key. Think about God himself. The Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son. They are in communion with each other all the time. The three are one. You can't get more relationship than that. Think about Jesus Christ coming to earth. Why? Because he wanted to have a connection with his people. He wanted to have a real relationship that really mattered. I'm sure Jesus could have done what he wanted, but he had to do it in this way. He had to do it in this way, respecting free will and all that. No time for that this morning. But relationship, absolutely, absolutely key. As we look towards our new pastor, Brian, and his wife joining us, there'll be a natural tendency to look for the way forward, you know, to look for how things will be. Will things go my way? Might be our natural tendency. Yeah? I know Brian and his ministry here will bring change. Yeah? I've heard that mentioned before as well. And of course that's to be expected. There will be change. But if there was one thing that, for me, showed Brian's wisdom was this. He told me that he would not rush change. Yeah? He would rather look and see what God is doing here already, and then he would seek a way forward for all of us as a body of believers. Real wisdom there. Real relationship. Yeah? Of course there's going to be change when Brian comes. But there's relationship there as well. Making it work. I'll end by encouraging you all. You know, desire to be continually... Oops, go past here. Here we go. Desire to be continually filled with the Spirit. Whenever you speak in tongues, or whether you speak in tongues or not, seek to know him deep within your soul. Learn to and expect to hear that still, quiet voice. Learn how to walk in step with the Spirit and follow the way of love. In everything, remember that God calls us as part of his church into a relationship. Firstly, with himself, but also with each other. the kind of relationship that glorifies God. The Corinthians just didn't get that. They were doing their own thing, and God was not being glorified. And finally, perhaps importantly, but it's all together really, isn't it? As often things are in God's house. Appreciate and desire the gifts that His Holy Spirit, that God gives to the church, so that all may come to resemble Christ more and more. And that through God's Holy Spirit, there will be acts of power, there will be acts of wonder, there will be lives transformed importantly. Not because of us, but because of God's power, and because of the way God works in relationship along with His Spirit. So this morning, like Paul, I want to encourage you. Gifts of the Spirit. Do explore them. Do desire them. Yeah? Ask God for these gifts. God will not give you anything which isn't good. And the Bible tells us, and we believe that. So we can be confident in doing that. If you want to know about speaking in tongues, if you would like help with that, I will be more than happy to direct you and to give you a few pointers in perhaps how to encourage that gift to be given to you. But the most important thing is that we are open to God. We are open to God's Spirit and His move in our lives and in the church. And it's not all about me. It's not all about that person. It's about everyone. It's about God's family together, in relationship, working together. Don't get me wrong. This isn't all about lovey-doveyness. Of course, we know there's another side, don't we? At times, hard truths have to be said. At times, you do need to correct people. At times, you do need to speak truth, yeah? But today's message is about how we work with God alongside His Spirit, and that is all about cooperation, and that is all about receiving from God. I'd like to encourage you on that today. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the gifts of Your Spirit that You do give to Your church. We thank You for those that are shown and evident at the moment. And we thank You for those that will be seen and evident in the days ahead. We thank You, Lord, that we don't need to be nervous about such things, because You are a good God who gives good gifts to Your people. Help us, though, as Your people, Lord, to be people that are receptive and sensitive to Your Spirit. Help us to put aside our flesh side that so easily is selfish and so easily causes hurt and wrong. Help us to walk in step with Your Holy Spirit in the days ahead. Help us to be open to change. Help us to be open not to change. Help us to be open to Your will in the days ahead. Amen.